Everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited, a Star Wars Limited trading card game podcast. Today I am joined, well, I'm Gil, and today I am joined by my two probably very tired co-hosts, Rob and Corey. How are you guys doing?
Hey, hello there.
Oh, yeah, you guys are so insane.
We need to be obviously tired because we're missing our stuff here.
Yeah, if anyone's watching the YouTube, I'm watching the video of this, and also apologize for the audio a little bit. I am traveling still. I am actually in Cancun for a wedding that happened on Monday. So right after Galactics, I traveled here. So I'm in a hotel room, a little echoey. So apologize for that in advance. But you know what? This is how important y'all this community is to me that I will literally package my recording equipment.
He's a one-man traveling show, guys.
To do this episode. But, you know, it's really important. Like, there was a lot going on this weekend. So we'll talk about the three segments. We'll do collection. We'll talk about some meta updates. And then I think the last main segment is just, like, reflections of success. Like, although there was some drama over this past weekend, I think overall the Galactic Championships was a success, even if we look at the numbers. So check out the last video I had for Day 3 for Galactic Championships with the interview with Jonah Kelman, who is the director of the judge program, and he talked about the numbers for this event and how crazy they were. No. So like there's nothing they could have done. Also
good to have a few days to reflect on it, and like because in the moment you're thinking of things, now we've got a chance to kind of look back and look at it from a different angle. It's like wow they did a lot there,
and and there's nothing they could have done to like anticipate some of the things anyway. Right. So let's go with we'll start off with collection. Corey, this is a very big weekend for a lot of people's collections. What do you got for us?
I think.
What do you got for us?
There was a lot. So the Galactics had a prize wall, and we'll talk about some of the prize wall stuff. I'm sure later in the episode here, but they had some really cool cards there. They had exclusive cards that you could buy at the prize wall. 200 each. They had a diptych of Rey and Kylo, so I was able to collect all of that. I got a set of everything there. And then they also had some playmats. I got the Death Star Plans playmat, which is really nice. That was the one I really wanted. And then they had the silver packs that you could get for playing in the main event. So you participate in that. You got three packs. Depending on how many wins you got another four packs. So I did open a few of the silver packs, and a highlight, obviously, the chase card of that silver pack set is the Vader, which I'm showing on the YouTube here. I'm holding it up. This is a beautiful, beautiful card. Yeah. It is a very playable card. It's definitely one of those when it comes out and is ambushing, it just wrecks you. So the fact that it's pretty rare... And I wonder if it was like clumped or not, because I know a few people got like three of them in three packs, and then people like Rob yourself opened like 10 packs and didn't see a single one.
I opened 13 packs.
Oh my God. That's crazy. And zero of them.
Yeah. Zero of them. So I had to trade for mine. So yes.
So I have not opened all of my packs. I'll show you the ones. I still have a whole bunch that I have not opened. And I also was able to procure a few of the black packs. I know Gil had done a little bit of a sneak peek and opened one on his end there. So we might do some more of that later. But I do want to highlight the artists that were there. They had some Star Wars artists, and you could go and get anything that you had. Like some people were coming up with stacks of cards. Like I had a few things that I wanted to get signed. And so one of the highlights for me was the diptych of Red 5 and Victor Leader, I think was really cool is he had signed it all the way across both of them.
That's
so if you watch YouTube, you can see the signatures cross, so they have to stay together now, these two cars. And that the artist is Steven Zavala, I think they say his name. So that was really cool to get his signature. And then the really popular artist, because he signed, he's the artist for the Vader and Luke showcases.
Yeah.
I did get to get those, and I got them signed as well by Johnny Morrow, which we did a quick interview with him. And unfortunately, I did not have these when I was doing the interview or even realize he was the artist for these two cards at the time. but it was cool. And then I got the event exclusive signed by him, and then closed the shield gate signed by him.
Yeah, so there was a lot going on here where, like, you had... Sorry, Rob, you're going to say something?
No, I was going to say, like, we can come to it later, but I got a story about how I managed to get my Luke and Vader showcases, so we'll come back to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, I was going to say that, like... it was a nice surprise, or maybe not a nice surprise because we kind of knew it was there, but like we had access to all of these artists. The cards were, you could get a lot of cards that you would not expect to normally get. So not only did we get the prize wall stuff, but the event exclusive Darth Tyrannus was there, and the Droid Convention pack was made available to everyone who went to Galactics. So yeah, Corey procured one as well. So there, it was, I was actually surprised at, the accessibility to all the cards that a collector would actually want in one place. Like, you don't have to go to Gen Con if you don't want to. You don't have to go to PAX Unplugged, right? You could do it all at one time. And hopefully they continue that for next year. I think that was one of the really highlights for me in terms of the collection, because, like, you could get all that plus pins, plus all this other stuff, provided you have the time and you really scheduled it out, which we could talk about in the later segment. But
to some extent, Rob. I was gonna say, to some extent, money too, because I will say that one of the difficulties, now you guys didn't experience this because you guys had the VIP packages, but one of the difficulties of being a non-VIP, aka me, is that the early entry time really mattered in this one. We'll go into that a little bit later. So just realize that, like, while if you're not doing the VIP package next year, you are going to want to get your stuff on day 1/2 because day 3 was a cluster.
In terms of getting all the stuff
from the
press. Yeah, right. We'll talk about that in the third segment a little bit more. So for sure. I think for me, the big chase pull that I got. So I got, I was able to procure
the Falcon.
Like the Falcon, right? So I got the Falcon from the Black Pack. It was the only Black Pack I opened. It was immediately the first one. It was this and Count Dooku. So this to me, this is the chase card.
That is the chase card. I was gonna say, I got to see it in person. I got to see it when you pulled it. It is a gorgeous card.
Oh, this card is a absolutely beautiful. It's. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, this is crazy.
You got a god pack for all intents and purposes. Those are two of the most playable cards in those packs.
Yeah, yeah. So I will say they're really hard to get, obviously. So I was really lucky that I got one. I opened one, and there's the chase card. Okay. So otherwise, for collections, I think that Corey, you and I. Well, actually, I don't know. Rob, did you get all the pins as well?
I didn't. I wasn't going after pins. I didn't even bother. But that was something that was hard to do also as a non-VIP, because a lot of times the pin passports were gone
before. Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't realize how fast the pin passport cards themselves were going to go. Like,
so, yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit more.
Crazy.
So one of the things that they talked about prior to going into the Galactic Championships is that they had like a special like 10 or 11 pins, like enameled pins that you could get, right? And they were at various points throughout the convention center, at actually multiple levels. Corey's showing two of them right now, which is the Luke and Vader. Those pins were free, quote-unquote free, in that you just walk around and get them. But to get them, you had to obtain a pin passport. The pin passport was like a pamphlet that you got at like the information desk or information when you entered the main convention center. The convention area, not like the registration area. Yeah, nice, two more pins. Corey's showing the pins as I'm talking.
You got the super laser DJ.
Yeah, once you got the pin passport, then you were then able to go to each of the different areas to pick one up. They scanned your badge and gave you a pin in return. The only pin that was not available at like a little kiosk was actually during the designer duels. It was the only way to get the Super Laser Tech pin was to play in the designer duel, which happened from 10 to 12 every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you, no matter what, whether you won or lost, you got the Super Laser Tech pin. That was actually the hardest one to get because you had to wait in line.
Because how long is the game going to take and everything, so.
Yeah, so this is where like planning goes into place. But also this means that like those pins, if you have a full set, are exceedingly rare. Because I don't know if they're going to give those out again. I have no idea.
Probably not, would be my guess.
Yeah, so like if you get them, you keep them, right? Unless mm-hmm. you're trying to make some money, I guess.
Because people have been, like this, they're all the starter spotlight leader.
Yeah.
That's what yeah. from yeah. yeah. So
for
so
super laser like, tech.
Yeah, I feel like if they're going to do them again next year, it's probably going to be all the subsequent leaders and like spotlight leaders for this, you know, for these following
for the next year.
I mean, maybe they reprint the old ones or like do the ones from like Legends of the Force and Jump to Lightspeed. But my instinct is to say that, you know, if they're doing, what was it? It's four sets worth of pins plus the super laser tech, or was it five sets and the super laser tech?
It's five sets in the super laser tech. It's 11.
Okay, so I mean, by the time this time next year, we'll have five sets though, because they might do like Jump to Lightspeed and Legends of the Force, but maybe those first three don't. You know, first three sets don't happen.
Yeah, there were also silver.
Or maybe they just continue to do them out.
Also, just remember, there's also silvered pins, like badge medallions, where like they were, I think, 500 prize wall tickets per, and it just has the title of the set. So like Spark of Rebellion is its own pin. Shadows of the Galaxy mm-hmm. is its own pin, so you would imagine that they would continue having that in the future. Getting a full pin set so far, official pin set, is actually really difficult because you need to have mm-hmm. used prize wall tickets. Some of them you can't even get. Like before, so like the Aspect pins, they were only available at conventions. Now I think you get them at the prize wall, but like
they had them at the prize wall, yeah.
They had them at the prize wall, but like the fact is you still have to pay to get them, you know. So again, there's a lot to collect for Star Wars Limited, more than just the cards, to be mm-hmm. completely transparent. And they keep adding more and more and more, which I think is cool, because I didn't think I would like pins. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, oh, man. I think I'm actually one of the few people in the world right now who has one of every pin. Like, actually, like, one of every pin that's been made available for Star Wars Unlimited. Unless there's like, oh, you know what? No, I'm missing the, right now, the Galactic Championship blue pin. That
I was gonna
has.
Say, like, did you?
Oh, the one that I have.
That one that you have. I'll trade you VIP one.
I'll trade it to you for something.
Speaking of which, we have the VIP. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see a little glimpse of it.
Yeah. So before we go on to the next section, well, actually, before I say that, do you guys have anything else in regards to the collection?
I do want to say I did procure another set of cards.
You did.
So I do have a lightsaber.
Oh my god. So the lightsaber, okay, so anyone who's watching or listening, so the Galactic Championship top 64 players were given a lightsaber exclusive like pack. I think there's 9 lightsabers in there. I forget
nine
the number, but
it's like lightsabers from
6 to 9. I actually have to look. They previewed 6 of them. So I don't know.
It's all the lightsabers from this set.
So it's a lot of all these different lightsabers. Only 64 of these were produced. It's a exceedingly rare collectible item. So Corey was able to procure that. He showed it on screen. I will say
I did not make top 64. I don't want to confuse anyone here. We'll talk about how we did in the Galactics later, I think. But I was like, one of these things was like, oh, these are just so cool. Being in the position I am, I can, you know, afford to spend more money potentially on things that maybe I would want, and lucky, I'm in a lucky position for that, and help someone else. Maybe they, you know, needed the money, and you know, I was helping. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm helping them get to the flight, because I did buy it from a European guy who was like, "Oh, this helped me a lot, because now it helped me with the hotel and the flight and everything." It was very expensive to come out to America. And so I was like, all right, well, cool. It makes me feel good. Then I could help someone there. But it was definitely one of those things where I was like, I really want these.
Maybe you want it. No, I totally get it. And in a way, you're giving back to the community, because mm-hmm. like, especially a guy, you know, who there's no cash prizes for tournament play. Unlike other TCGs, you don't get cash prizes unless it's a private entity, like a store that wants to sponsor something like that and give cash prizes. But you're not supposed to.
I don't even know if they can technically.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, really. So it is really nice that you know, that these people who come and travel can make some money because people are like willing to buy it on site. I mean, that Darth Vader card, crazily enough, was going for like $200 or something like that. Like, that's a silver pack Darth Vader. There's actually a day 3 Darth Vader that was given out that is even more expensive and more rare.
Yeah,
and then there's the Judge one, as well. Which we don't have, but
good luck.
yeah,
yeah, right.
I sold those for like $500.
Yeah, it's buku money to do this.
What I will I want to say though, the gentleman I purchased this from was also a Talzin Red player. So again, a little bit of a little camaraderie there.
Talzin Red, baby. So we'll talk about the meta real quick. Like we'll talk about the meta shortly, but I think suffice to say, in that collectible sense, it was a successful weekend for Padawan Unlimited. I hope that everyone who went to Galactics that listens got something. If not, we're going to do some giveaways. Okay? So, well, unfortunately, I only have one Millennium Falcon, so I'm not going to give that away. However, what I will say, one of our friends at Bothan Network, who, by the shout out to Ian Klein, who was a Bothan Network member to make finalists in the first ever Galactic Championship.
Yeah.
Watch the interview from Did They 3 video if you can. But one of the other members from Bothan Network, Tetra, also named Clueless, he generously donated a Poe Dameron showcase card that we're going to raffle off over the next month. So, because this is a, kind of a bigger like day or event, or not event, but like a bigger weekend, there's a lot to give away. So we're going to do that. We're going to give away, and I'll submit the raffle. I'll put the like a raffle thing up on board. But we're going to do a couple different raffles. We're going to do one for the showcase. And then also what we'll do is I'm going to give away some of the silver pack cards that I have extras of. So, for example, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'll put more details in the actual raffle, inside the actual raffle form. But there also will be a raffle for cards. I also have an extra Galactic Championship VIP pin. So we will also raffle that. Again, this is maybe not all of this week, but we will have giveaways.
Over the next few
The next few weeks, there will be a variety of giveaways. We'll talk about it each time, but there will be a mixture of cards and sleeves and pins and stuff like that. So that but the first thing is going to be that showcase. Again, thank you to the Bothan Network for being so generous with us and for providing us a Poe Dameron showcase to give away to our listeners. Give them a shout out. I'll put a link to their Discord in the description of this video, so that if you so desire to be part of the network, you will have access to that. Okay, so let's go on to the meta section. Rob, this is a big weekend, a big week. So tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're thinking.
We're going to be seeing a lot of Blue Steel Kylo. No, in all seriousness. So Corey's prediction was correct. Mother Talzin Red was the big winner of the entire weekend.
Corey was right.
Corey was right. Corey was right. So shocking. I don't think anyone really. I think a lot of people knew that Talzin Red was going to be strong, and seeing it at the final table did not really come as a shock. I think what did come as a shock, honestly, is that there was not a Han 2 or even really Anakin blue to be seen, which was a lot of people's, mine included, thoughts that it was going to be like very strong in the meta. And it was very prevalent. It did make it to the top 16, top 8. The real spice of the weekend, and there was some controversy around this, which we can kind of talk about a little bit later, but the real spice of the weekend was Kylo 5 Tarkin Town. Which when I initially heard it, I was like, do you mean ECL? Because we started seeing this show up on day one and nobody knew this was coming. And so I heard someone talking about it. It was like, are you talking about like Kylo ECL? Because like that seems like an obvious, connection there. You've got Kylo who's blue, you've got the new Vader, you've got ECL. That seems really strong, being able to kind of run that. But it's this Kylo Tarkin Town deck. I'll tell you the best way to describe it is kind of talking about the final a little bit, but where I got to see, and that's where I got to see it most in action. First of all, watching Ian pilot this deck, dude is thinking on levels that I can't even begin to comprehend. So seriously, shout out to Ian, because holy crap, was that some incredible play. This deck is primarily a hard control deck. You're basically trying to, time out your opponent using your life as a resource, really, to get to the Kylo flip turn. And sometimes you're not actually flipping him on seven because he didn't actually flip him on seven on at least one occasion, if not twice, I think. But you're trying to flip him into an advantageous situation. And when you flip him, you're dealing like 12 damage a swing. Yeah. And you can end the game in two turns. It's absolutely insane. I think the surprise card that I really didn't expect to see was Sith Holocron. It's a one cost upgrade. It gives your unit 1/1, but you can damage that unit to give them +2 attack. So you
damage any friendly unit.
Really. Well, yeah, any friendly.
Yeah, because that's important.
So you can just shunt it to like Anakin. Because you'll play, or you Anakin.
Shunt it to Mahdi to re-ready.
Yeah, that's the real spice there. So the real spice is in the base deck. Admiral Moti is in there, so you don't even have to get him ready. You just drop him on the field for two, and then when you flip Kylo and then attack with him, you can use the damage trigger to kill Moti and then re-ready Kylo. So now you're swinging for 12, say, plus or minus, and then you re-ready and you get to swing for 12 again.
So let's talk about that again.
You can do 24 in a turn.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. So Admiral Moti has a when defeated ability, to be clear. It's not just damaging him. He's like a 1/1 or something really weak.
He's a 1/1,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, 1/1. And he's a villainy unit only, I'm pretty sure. And what you do is that... just elaborate a little bit more and make sure everyone understands the combination here. Sith Holocron allows you to do one damage to any unit, and then on your side...
Two damage.
Unit. And
which
you can damage...
The attacking unit attack plus boosted. Two attack.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so when you attack, you trigger the ability to defeat Admiral Moti, which gives you the +2... to attack and then also re-ready, right? Which is like insane. It's an insane combo. Yeah. That's when Rob is saying that you could do 12 damage, you could do 24 units in a turn. It's because you're hitting 12, you re-ready, hit 12 again. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the what I didn't realize this at first because we were not actually up close watching the final. Initially for the first round, we were walking up as it was happening, and we're looking at our phones and like watching it in the background, and I'm seeing Ian on 2 health on 2 health dealt to the Mother Talzin player, and he was on like, I think he was on like 16 at that point or something. He was very close, and he's running Tarkin Town, so you know you're only 25 health. He was very high in the damage, and I literally look down, like say something to someone who's standing next to me, look up, and the Talzin player went from 2 to 26. I was like, what happened? And then you know, we were able to reconstruct it, but it was just I was like, how?
Yeah.
And you go, you're like, oh my God, that's insane. And yeah. it is. This deck is nuts. And like the Tarkin Town in particular is very strong here because it oftentimes will allow you to trade a turn one play. So like one of the strongest opens in this deck is you play Karis, you attack with Karis, you throw Karis into something so she dies. You don't care. You can -2/-2 something. So in a lot of cases, particularly against blue force users, it's Secretive Sage, and you're like, cool, -2/-2 that thing. Don't care about the shield; it dies. The thing that you threw Karis into probably doesn't die, but then you can Tarkin Town it. So now you've 2 for 1 and kept the board relatively clear. And then it banks on like things like the Witches of the Mist. Which is like a 1-drop, 1/3, right? But then you throw a lightsaber on it, and suddenly this thing is a little bit scarier, right? Now it's a three six sentinel. Yeah. Well, if you throw constructed on it, it's a 3/6 sentinel. If you throw fallen lightsaber on it, it's a 4/6 that is also forced, so it does get the on attack trigger. Like there, and then when it dies, you don't care because you want the lightsaber to be in your discard to then put on the Kylo later. So there's so many little like combo lines in this that it's really kind of nuts. And then you're also potentially, there's Heroic Sacrifice in there, so you're potentially dropping that into your discard. So now if you play Anakin, who is also in this deck, the new Anakin, Jazz Hands Anakin, for those of you on
Heroic
on
Sacrifice
YouTube,
or Heroic Resolve?
Heroic Resolve. Yeah, sorry, Heroic Resolve. Yeah, so I did a little Jazz Hands. But Jazz Hands Anakin, if you drop Heroic Resolve into there, now you're getting the -6/-6 when he drops. There's so many little like individual combos in this, and they all kind of pan out, and they all kind of feed into one another.
So definitely, we're not doing justice to the level of play here. So I would suggest that you watch the streams.
Yeah, watch the final.
Any stream that has a Kylo Tarkin, Tile of Five, Tarkin Town. Watch it. They are really fascinating. The conversion rate, like Ian said in the video in our interview with him a couple days ago, you know, out of all the members, four of them made the top 16
top
or something.
Like
that. It was top eight.
I think it was like top eight.
No, it was like 16. Top 16. It's like four.
It was
16. Top 16.
Okay, but yeah,
it was like two of them were in the top eight, I think.
Close
to the top eight,
or in the top 11 or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Something the conversion was insane. So watch those games because we're not gonna be able to do it justice. And we weren't able to watch all the gameplay to be fair, I think. But moving on to the meta that might occur, right? There's been a lot of coverage for Galactic Championship, so let's not go too deep into that because someone will do it better.
Probably. But the one thing I would like to say is I love when someone comes up with a deck for a tournament that is not something that people expect or recognize as something that they can plan for. There's so many decks that we know about, Han 2 specifically, we knew coming in. Like, it happens in Magic a lot. It's like, what's the main deck people are going to come in? Like, what is the meta deck? 25% or whatever people are playing Han 2. Like, how do we beat that deck consistently over and over again? And just coming up with something out there is really cool to see.
What I'm also going to say is this was a brilliant meta call on Bothan Network's part. This deck was not, on its own, it's very strong, but this deck was specifically designed to deal with like Han 2 blue. And it was anticipated to be a large percentage of the field, and it was. Conversion rate from day one to day two was pretty high. Han 2 blue specifically was pretty high. But this deck just beasted on that. And it's why we didn't see any up top, frankly. It just really, really great call on their part. And it's cool. Like, and this is the other thing about this is, and I know you don't want to hear about Force Throw anymore, Gil, but I think even without Force Throw in this deck, the deck is still very strong.
No, even Bothan Network admitted if they ban Force Throw, this deck means nothing anymore. So,
you really think so?
Yeah. I mean, if the creators of the deck said that if Force Throw gets banned, that this deck is kind of like bonked out, then like I'm gonna believe them. I don't know why, but like I'm just gonna take their word on it. it's my opinion. But you're right, Corey. Like going back to what Corey said, I think you know that's a great point. Like it's so cool to see something like really off meta just like start to dominate. I mean, yeah, you know, this is something that I always try to do. Never got to that point of success yet, but something to strive for because this is deck brewing. Deck brewing is a skill. Yeah. Right, that you have to hone, and the only way to do it is to practice and try. Right, you need to just like keep going at it and see what kind of combinations you can make. See some things that are brilliant, like the Migs Mayfield to discard damage, like combination.
We didn't even talk about that line.
You know, like all these. Yeah, that's so Corey. That's a great point.
Yeah, don't think just because your deck or the combination of cards that you like is not being played a bunch means it's bad. Like. That's what, like, just because, ECL Kylo is the one to go with, that doesn't mean it's the only thing you can do. There's a lot of decks out there that are absolutely viable. Yeah, and don't feel like, this deck can't compete. And you just got to keep, like Gil was saying, just keep at it, find the things that work for you, and find the things that work for the current, like, meta that people are playing.
Well, I was just saying, that's something to kind of, like, look at with this. This weekend, there were a lot of off meta decks that were out there. Like there was a Kazuda blue that was way up high. There
dominating
was, there was a Han 4 like Han JTL that made it Yeah, like there were some wild brews out there. It wasn't just the like standard meta stuff. Saying it, meta stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be an elite player to find success. Like even me, like I came in and I shared on Discord my list. It was an Anakin 3, yellow 4 stack. That made 5-3. And I actually think I could have gotten to day 2 if I just didn't. I was too brain drained and I had crazy misplays against decks that I should not have lost against, or I was already in a winning position. And I went 5-3. I mean, you know, and I'm not necessarily a crazy good homebrew type guy. It's not like it's a color combination that most people are looking at for Anakin specifically. So, I mean, again, you can find success. And you know what I got? I got multiple packs. I got like 4 silver packs, 4 more silver packs, more than I would have had, right? So, which is going to go back to you guys anyway. So, aka, like a token. I also got like a token pack that I haven't opened yet. So, I'm going to be able to give that out to the community.
Yeah, those tokens are gorgeous, by the way. I actually got one over here.
You have them? Yeah. Totally forgot to talk about that.
So, that's mm-hmm. the tie. And then alternate this side, side is the X-Wing. Yeah. They're gorgeous. Tokens.
The artist was there, Steven Savala, right? He's the one.
Yeah,
I think so. Let me just check. It is Steven Zavala, yes. Yeah. The other thing I didn't realize is that these, if you can see, are Galactic Championship 2025 branded
tokens.
So they are not going to be reprinting these.
Yeah, definitely.
If they are. They're going to be the 2025s versus the 2026 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a great point. I want to talk about the next set, but I don't want to run out of time. So we're going to dedicate a large portion of next week's podcast episode to talking about the new set. We were there for the reveal. We were there mm-hmm. when they revealed the new token spy. We were when the new mechanics plot and was it
disclosed?
It's disclosed. It's not a keyword, but it's there.
It's not a keyword. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a couple of new mechanics. We'll talk about some of the leaders that might become more valuable now that there's a new mechanic mm-hmm. out there.
Have some legs, you might say.
Yeah, some legs. So, if you are on our Discord and you have any of these kind of ideas, like someone I forgot who actually asked to do this, but has a topic that you want to talk about for the podcast, feel free to submit them. We'll put it on a docket and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Twin Suns in the future. I got to play some Twin Suns with some designers, and it's when you really build out a deck, it's really fun. Even someone else builds it for you, it's fun. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in future episodes. Suffice to say, Corey is right. So TLDR, Corey is right for the meta with the championship call. Rob is right with his analysis in that, like, you know, you could do a whole bunch of stuff with made off meta decks and you'll be fine. So let's go on to the main segment of this evening, and that is just reflections on success. So what that means in terms of the Galactic Championship, FFG, this is first major tournament, and we'll go from there. So I will say that, like, and what I mean by this is that, like, they were, there was a lot of complaining. I will say there was a lot of comments regarding, like, the planning, logistics, and everything like that. And I think there's some merit to that. I mean, even I said in my videos, like, I'm not an FFG, like, employee, so I'm free to say whatever I want. I'm not going to, like, curse or anything like that. But there was a lot of opportunity for improvements. And I think that they did improve from day to day. But when you unpack what actually occurred, like, numerically speaking, in the background, and you put it into context, it was actually a lot more successful than I think it, like, even advertised to be. So here's what I mean, just in general speaking. I think that, like, they had more, and Jonah talked about this, they had more side events run than any other, like, trading card game side event, like, thing in all of history. So there was no way that they could have, like, I think it was, like, I forgot what Jonah said, it was, like, 16,000 or something like that, side events run over the course of 3 days, something insanely high. That means people were, like, chugging. They were trying to play side events, and when you have that, you know, there's a lot of prize wall tickets and there's a lot of prizes that need to be given out in conjunction to that, right? And so they were running out of things left, like, at the end of the day, or even midday. No, actually, day two, they started running out. Yeah, and that's just it's a good problem to have for a business, but also for the community, in that, like, there is demand. So I don't want to hear I don't want to hear about people saying the game's dying because it was 4,000 something people came to this event, yep. and literally almost all the prizes were taken out of rotation. So I don't know. We'll do round robin. I know I talked about a little bit more too much about it. So Rob, you're looking down. So I'll go to Corey. Corey, you go first, and then we'll go to Rob. Then we'll go to me. Let's talk about what did you think? Like, you know, what was successful? What was not successful? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so as far as my experience, I also went 5-3, and I had a chance to get into day two. I was a win and in match, and it is a long day, and unfortunately, I played one of my worst matchups in Boba Yellow. Mm. Did not expect to see that deck. There was 12 in all of the 2,000 people on day one. I got to play it twice. So, just saying.
That's crazy.
So those two of my three losses there, but it was a lot of fun. The one thing I will say with as far as the event and how big it was and how there was definitely a lot of issues that I hope people speak up about constructively. Like, you can throw a lot of hate at something and be like, this was awful, I'm never coming back, you guys suck. Like, that doesn't help anyone. Like, if you mm-hmm. had a problem with this event, or if you didn't see things running the way you wanted it or were hoping for, and if you missed out on a card or something like Super Laser Blast, because that went out really quick, talk about it constructively and how that can we can help for the next time, how we can learn. Because this was their first event, and for their first event, there are blueprints. We've seen that before, Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, they all have these big tournaments. But this was Star Wars Unlimited's first one. And so there is going to be growing pains. And so my hope is that instead of complaining and saying how terrible things are, we can try to make it a better experience for next time. Talk about what the things are that can be improved and where you think those things can be improved. So, like, for one, side event tickets. People that did not play in day one had a buy. Those people should have been prioritized with getting side event tickets because they were not doing anything on day one in the main event. The people that were playing in the main event were not going to be playing side events, most likely. And I know a lot of people who were in day one, who had day one buys, didn't get side event tickets to play in the side events initially. And that, to me, that's something that was a big, big misstep. And unfortunately, you know, they only had so many, but I think they needed to allocate enough to make sure that certain people were able to get those tickets and participate in those side events. And I think they said you could pay for them at some point, but
you could not do
so. That part was a little messy.
To elaborate a little bit on that a little bit more, these side event tickets were literally printed paper tickets that.
Yes.
Cost $5 a pop. You traded in the side event tickets in order to participate in side events. And as Corey alluded to, there was not enough physically printed tickets for all the people that had purchased them ahead of time, to be clear.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
I think,
so go ahead,
Rob. I think it was a logistics thing. I think shipment got, like, a pile of them got delayed or whatever, because they looked like they were palletized. Like, you could see some of the banding on them. But I think there was just an issue because by day two, they did have them back in stock. And now some of that was the tickets being like recycled through the process. But I think they got that pallet just delivered late if I had to take a guess at it.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much.
They literally went out and printed more.
Oh, is that what it was?
Someone said that they had to go to get them express printed out.
Okay. Yeah. So there's like you said, logistics. I mean, keyword of the weekend, logistics. There was that issue.
It was super successful. The side events were successful. I think, again, day one was a little messy. We needed to have a little more organization there. But again, hopefully they're learning and they can improve on that for next time. Because it is easy. Yeah. To talk about the bad things, right? It's very easy to do that. But overall, it was really cool. Got to play with a bunch of people on Saturday. I skipped the open. They did have an open, which was somewhat like another little major tournament.
Well, it was the first tournament of season one.
Right. So it was like it counted towards your season one points. But I wanted to do side events and grind those tickets, and I think that was a success for me. I got to meet new people, play with people from all over the country and world even. So that was a lot of fun. Yep. And I did get to get most of what I wanted, fortunately enough, from the prize wall. So, same. Yeah, can't complain about that.
So, yep. How about you, Rob? What are some good and bad of the weekend in terms of, you know, how it's rolling out?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little spin on this and do reflections on failure, because I did not have as good a weekend as you guys did in terms of numerical successes. I think I went like 1-4 in the tournament before I dropped, or 1-3 in the tournament before I dropped. So I did not have as much success playing in the last fan qualifier day one event as you guys did. But to me, that's okay. It kind of reignited my, you know, desire to continue to play it, not necessarily play at a high level, because I don't know if I'm ever going to quite be a professional player, but reignited my desire to kind of play more consistently and more be more intentional with sort of like how I play my games and getting better at like my fundamentals and stuff like that. And then as far as like from the FFG standpoint, I mean, I don't want to call them, you know, reflections on failure, but like the way to kind of think about it is and I said this in the Discord channel, as we were kind of talking about this, is like to give these guys some grace, because as Corey pointed out, this was the first event of this size that they've run, the first type of event of this size. And generally speaking, they were successful. But when you succeed at things, the floor for for everyone's expectations gets raised a lot. And so the game prior to this has been successful. You know, there's been a lot of hype around this game. It's just coming to mass market. There's, you know, again, 4,000 people at the first ever, you know, championship for this game. That's a lot of people that came out to this. And, you know, while some people may have felt that they fell short in this, it's because your expectations were raised for this a lot, because you want to see this game succeed. And I think at the end of the day, they're problems, but they're good problems to have. So, you know, yeah, not everything went as smoothly as we all would have hoped, right? But, you know, as Gil pointed out, like even from day to day, the event got better and better. So like for us, for example, like after I dropped, I played in side events on day one. And it was rough going, for sure. You know, there, by the time that I got into the lines for it, they had differentiated the lines. But at one point, the side events were literally everything was one line, and there was no differentiation between people playing draft, people playing Twin Suns, people playing Premier, all in one line. And the lines were very long, and it was hard to get people through them. And it was chaos, and I feel really bad for the staffers, because it was utter chaos at times, not through any fault of their own, but because I think they just did not anticipate, as Gil pointed out, they did not anticipate that level of interest in the side events, particularly when on day one, you know, there were somewhere a little bit over 3,000 people attending for day one. Mind you, this was a Friday, and 2,000 of them were in 2,000 plus of them. Well, no, it was just about 2,000. 2,000 of them were in the main event. So you had 1,000 people who were all in on side events, just jamming games. And sometimes the wait line got the wait in the line got pretty long. We had a friend who was qualified for day two, was trying to do side events. He got through like three in the entire day because of some of the logistics things there. But by day two, they kind of learned from their failures, again, to bring it back to the theme. When I tell you the day two events ran like clockwork, it wasn't initial. There were still a little bit of hiccups right at the beginning. But by the time, say, like noon rolled around, you could get in line, get in a pod, get started, be done in like 45 minutes, get back in line and be into another pod within another like 15, 20 minutes. It was running. It was really starting to work really well after that point.
Yeah, if you were smart, if you were optimal, you could generate up to 800 tickets every hour. 1,800 tickets yeah. every hour. So that was a indication of how fast you can actually get through it. And actually playing games. Like, that's what was crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about solutions, right? What can we do? What could FFG potentially do in the future that I think might be low cost, right? Because people are talking about QR codes, tying it to things. Like, I'm not going to go into the technology because you have to pay for that as well. Like, right? They also need to make money. They're a business, right?
It's a point of failure, too. That can cause issues there.
Scalability. But, like, before I even get to the technology, because for me, technology only enables or only enhances an existing state. If the process is broken, technology makes it exponentially worse. If the process is efficient, technology makes it exponentially efficient. You don't want a computer to add 1 + 1 = 3 really, really fast, because that's wrong. You want to do 1 + 1 = 2 and do that really, really fast, right? So that's just an example of what I mean. Like, what can we do talking about the process, right? This is industrial engineering at its core, and then, like, on top of, like, event organization. But, like, certain things that I would say that they needed to do better, they can do better, and they started to do, actually. Like, you talked about that they had queues, they had split lines or whatever, but you have to think about optimizing the space. At large conventions, you guys have seen it. You get corralled into these, like, big dockets ahead of time, and then you get shift, right? There was the space was not optimized for line waiting. Like, the tables were in the way, right? So you had to, like, do all these weird wraparounds. There was a lot of dead space within the hall that could have been utilized for lines. There was also areas where lines were just, like, people telling you, like, do this one thing, but there was no, like, actual indicators of where the line snakes, where it starts, where it ends. They started to do that towards the end, but, like, you need to have, like, queue lines. Like, you need to have, like pillars or something that indicates, okay, line up here, go down this way, go around, go, you know, do this, that. And it's one of those things that, like, just physically speaking, at the physical layer, like, this is how you could help resolve some of the issues. Just, like, where should the lines be? Remove some of these tables in order to make the lines fit, right? And then re-opt, because, again, there's a lot of dead space, like, within the hall that could have been better utilized for lines, right? Instead of having this weird, like, you know, Aztec, like, kind of configuration in terms of, like, design. I'm talking about the logo. I mean no disrespect. So that's one thing that I think we could. And that's, again, they're too successful. It was too successful in that too many people want to do side events. Too many people wanted prizes. Like, that's a good problem to have. So let's talk about how we fix that. The other thing that I kind of want to talk about, right, in that sense, is, like, communication, consistency. I don't know if they had team meetings ahead of time, right? I'm not one of those people, but, like, you could definitely tell that there was a lot of telephone going on between team leads, staff, and between staff. There were some staff members that were crazy strong. I mean, like, these people had, like, mics on. They were direct. They were pointing back and forth. They were, like, they were on it the entire time. And I there's this one guy in the yellow shirt particularly that was, like, at the side of an area. We had, like a mic. The gathering point? Yeah, that
funny,
dude.
Funny story is, I think he asked for that because he did not have one day one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, so, like, some guys like that were, like, Some people were really, really strong. Others, not so much. They were just, like, kind of, like, lackadaisical, which, again, you get what you get when you're in terms of staff. But I think not only that, you also need more. How would they know? They wouldn't know that this would be record-breaking side events, that they need more judges, hashtag join the judge program, that they need more staff members to organize lines. Again, these physical layer things, aside from just staff up, like, should be accommodated, I think, in the future. And I think they did learn that lesson. And then we could talk about, how, you know, having walkie-talkies, right? Like, radios to, like, communicate in mass to all your staff members. So that's, like, a lot of the frustration I saw was that there was just too many different staff members were saying different things at the same time. And then people would get mad because...
Different sides of the hall. That's the
other thing. Different sides. Nope. So you have to totally understand that, like, People just want to know what's going on, man. They just want to be aware. They already desire the
communication
product.
Communication is so important. Yeah. When you can set the expectations properly, it goes a long way to appease people's frustrations, because now they know what to expect.
Exactly.
It's that unknown feelings. Like, what's happening? What are we doing here? Like, what's going on? Like, so you just tell
them,
hey.
Why am I waiting in this line?
Yeah. And I think also, like, one other thing before I've kind of rambled at this point, but, like, security in that, like, there are staff members that are checking that people don't cut in line. That is another thing that, because of the chaos, it was very easy because of the chaos slash miscommunications, it was very easy for things to get cross-wired, whether they be intentional, unintentional, people cutting in line, right? And line cutters, I was very upset when it happened, when I saw it happen. I did what I could, but, you know, at the end of the day, I can't physically, forcibly remove someone from a line. That's not my job, and not my prerogative to do, like, in terms of, like, I'm not going to physically move somebody. But you need to have people, like staff members, also keep that in mind, right? Because that ruins the experience for a lot of people. You know, the thing that made me really feel really bad was that, you know, there was a league play event, league play side event. This side event cost $20. You, with this $20, you got a mat, a synchronized strike mat, as well as a ticket that gave you the opportunity to get 400 tickets. So this was like a steal, really like a steal, in terms of side event.
Basically getting a free mat.
Yeah, you're getting a free mat, essentially, right? And I just saw people cutting in line, like, to get to it. And a lot of the VIP people who already had access to get it ahead of time, right? Like, people would be cutting inside the VIP line. I felt terrible, like, about that. So, like, I mean, being in the... I gave my mats away, honestly. Because I know some people were just in the line just for the mat. And I did give them to VIP people. I gave them to people who were actually, like, down the line. That would not have had the opportunity to do that, even if they were waiting since 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, which some people were actually doing. Felt terrible about that. So I think that, but that's also on us as a community to make sure that you police it yourselves. Like, if people are cutting in line, like, be that person that will say something, because you're not wrong. You know, like, you are the person with honor that would be protecting the integrity of the rest of the line. You should do that if you can. Again, not everyone has the confidence or ability, wherewithal to do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you, like, that forcing you to do that. But one of those things I think we can improve as a community because we are so successful, because Star Wars Unlimited is so successful. Okay. On to you, Corey. Back to you, Corey. Let's do one more rotation, I think, before we close out the pod.
One thing I will say is I was fortunate enough to get everything from the prize wall that I wanted, but a lot of people weren't, unfortunately. And I think that had a lot to do with not restricting people to certain number of items at a time. And it's hard to police that, unfortunately. Yeah. But the minimum that I would say is to make people have a maximum of three of, because three is the play set of a card, right? So you could buy a maximum of three at a time and then have them go back in line. And then there weren't always lines, but
it was really just A3.
There were some lines here and there, but make them at least have to say, okay, we're going to give you three, just go back, do a lap, and then come back and we'll give you another three if that's what it has to be. And then the other thing is you could literally just buy everything on the prize wall. You didn't have to actually play in the side events, which basically what you would do is they gave you the opportunity to trade in your side event tickets for 100 points. So it's basically you're paying $5 for 100 points. And so if you really wanted to, you could just go buy enough tickets, side event tickets, $250 worth, because that would be whatever that is, 2,500. Basically whatever. It's like, I think it came out to $250. And you could buy the showcases if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Do it that way. They needed to restrict that, in my opinion, to day three. Like,
It was only day three that you could turn it in.
But it wasn't only day three.
No, day two you could have turned it in. The ratio was actually better. It was like three to four. Yeah. Three prize wall tickets, you got 400 pro. Exactly. When we talk about communication and the inconsistencies throughout the day, that's one of them.
People are saying different things. Yes.
The fact that you didn't know that shows that there was a severe miscommunication already. Right. And then apparently there was also even a different thing with VIP. Anyway, so go ahead, Corey.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And that's the other thing is, like, you could trade in your lower tickets to get bigger denominations for cheaper or whatever. But so my feeling is you want to give this community, because these people are here for this event. They're not here because they just happen to be in Vegas. They're here for this event. And the prize wall things are the highlight for a lot of people because they're not going to make it to get black packs. They're not going to get the lightsabers. They're not going to get the top 32 cards and bat mats and things. They're there to do side events and to win prizes. But those really weren't prizes when people were just spending hundreds of dollars and buying out Super Laser Blast and buying out the, you know, Mortis playmat. That's so to me that is unfortunate. I think they need to police that a little bit more, and it's not something that I want QR codes for, like you mentioned earlier, because I don't think adding technology in this scenario is going to be helpful, because it, if it goes down or if there's a hiccup, it's only going to make things worse. Like you were saying, it just compounds a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it as like a punch card or like a passport.
Something. Just even just like I said, the minimum thing they needed to do is say you can only buy three of something at a time, and then just get back in line and do a lap or something and come back in a little bit. And not let people trade in their side event tickets until the last day in the afternoon, potentially.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Or at least limit, like, you know, people who would be dropping, you know, stupid amounts of money for, like, on day three. Like, I'm sorry, the hall closed at, the side events closed at, like, what was it, 2 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. And I think the last point you could buy was at 1 o'clock or something.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you're buying 10,000 tickets, you know, like whatever the number was. I'm sure people did. Like, you're not spending those to play in side events. Like, there's only so much you really need on that. So, like, I appreciate the ability to convert them. Like, if you
definitely need to have that.
Yeah, yeah, no, and you definitely need that. So, but maybe limit the sales of them on the third day.
They did. I will say that one of the things, and they talked about this right at the beginning of the event, was that in terms of, like, the prize wall ticket pricing, they did, you know, listen to feedback and reduce the cost of the showcases. Fair showcases, which was good and bad, because there was it was easy to access, but they ran out of showcases by mid-morning also, day three, I think.
Yep.
To mid-morning, like 11:30 or halfway, something, like halfway, in the morning.
Yeah, I think it was halfway.
I know exactly when, because I got a story.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us the story, Rob.
So while I had some reflections on defeat, I did have some reflections. Well, not maybe reflections, but some exciting successes. So day three, the prize wall line was bananas, to say the least. It wrapped basically the entire hall for pretty much the entire day until they closed down the other half of the convention.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I got into the line after kind of figuring out what I was going to do on day three, because I did a little bit of waffling as we got into the event and kind of walked around, did some the first thing I actually did was I made some trades to get my playset of Vader. So I sold a butt ton of cards, managed to get my three silver pack Vaders. So that was a success. But then after that, I was looking at the line. I was like, okay, I got to get in this line, otherwise they're gonna run out of everything. And true to form, they were in fact running out of everything by the time I got up there. I had at that point in time, I had about 6,000 tickets left to spend. So my thought was, all right, I'm gonna get the Vaders, and I got 1,000. Maybe I'll get like a playmat or something. I don't know. I'll figure out what I'm gonna spend it on. So as we're getting closer to the line, to the front of the line, you know, you start hearing whispers, oh, they're running out of stuff. And we had known that they were running out of, they had run out of Super Laser Blasts. They had run out of, I think it was Mace was the other one that they had run out of at the beginning of the day. You know, at one point I heard that they had run out of showcases, and I was like, all right, well, I'll figure out what I'm going to spend it for. And this, mind you, I was still only about halfway through the line at this point. And then it turns out, as we get closer, it's like, no, they hadn't run out of showcases yet. They had run out of some other things. It's like, okay, so still good. Get right to the front of the line, and I'm hearing people saying, they're out of showcases. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to figure out how to spend 6,000 tickets now. We get up there and we're like, do you have showcases? They're like, yeah. So I'm like, all right, here's 5,000 tickets. They had the Lukes still, but apparently they had run out of Vaders. Well, that wasn't entirely true, because the person right next to me actually points at the case where they had like the display case showing like what was available. And sure enough, there were two Vaders in there, because they had it showing for the, you know, for the front side and then for the leader side. Mm-hmm. So he grabs one and then there's one left. I'm like, guys, can I get that one? And then he looks to the person that I give the tickets to. Did you give you 5,000 tickets? I was like, yeah, I gave him 5,000 tickets. They're like, yeah, I did. Literal last Vader showcase in the convention hall, managed to pull it. So that was my highlight. That was actually kind of a highlight of the weekend. fucking like. Yeah,
so cool. So I guess the moral of the story is like, it's not afraid to just ask. Like, don't be afraid to just ask for whatever. I will say, like, so some of this happened because not only was it super successful in terms of like popularity, but like a lot of the reduction, the issue, the scary thing I have here is that they raised the prices of the showcase of all these things in the future because they know people are going to get them. So like, I think for me, one of the things I want to say, and maybe this is more of a community call, but like, we need to remember that, like, let's not grab 10 of these bad boys, you know, grab what you need, maybe two, I guess, if you want to make some money, but like, try not, like, scalping is its own thing, and if that's your thing, go do that. I don't really necessarily like that. Like, I'm sad, but it was a necessary evil in my sense that, like, I only got one of each. Like, I did not get duplicates of a lot of... I didn't get a play set of any of the cards. I did get two Vader showcases, but that's because a team member wasn't able to make it to Galactics, and I literally grinded to get him his Vader showcase. Right? So, like, and I'm not selling that to him. I'm trading, but, like, I'm not making a profit off my friend. Right? Whereas some people, day one, already had, like, two or three doubles of like every, like triples of like everything. Again, if you have if you want a play set of something, like dude, you do that. Like, really feel free. Yeah. If you want like one you want some showcases to like have for your collection, one set to be signed so that because it's considered damaged, you know what I mean? Like that's good too, right? Like, but if you're well, then they're like core, you have the signed ones, right? Like, I get that, right? And again, if you want to make a little money, go ahead. But, like, if you're, like, if you're, like, getting a lot so that no one else can grab them, like, it's only going to be detrimental in the future. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to increase, either they're going to print to demand, either going to print more, maybe, or they just increase the prices.
Yeah. No, I saw, I heard the secondhand, but I heard someone had gotten, like, 100 Super Laser Blasts. And somebody asked him, why are you getting so many? He's like, I want to corner the market for it. And so that's going overboard. Like, that is a little too much. I could understand if you're getting them for your friends because they're not there, like you said, Gil. Like, if people can't make it to this event, it is expensive. It is out of state for a lot of people, obviously. It's only in Vegas right now. And again, it's going to be in Vegas next year. Yep, at the Venetian.
Yeah.
I can understand getting them for people that you know want them and will be playing with them, or you know, want to have one for their collection, so to speak.
Yeah.
But getting them specifically to corner the market—that's a little.
I'm not even angry. I'm just disappointed because you know what happened. This is what's. It's going to end up being like Pokemon or something.
Yeah, where
it's
going to be. Do we want Pokemon here, guys?
It's going to be inaccessible to a lot of people very quickly, and I don't want that to happen because. Part of the beauty of this game is that it's accessible to like everyone right now. Like again, can it be a little pricey? I guess now if you want to have this really elite prestige cards or what are like promotional cards, maybe. But like we're at that cusp. Like right, the fact that sometimes people are selling cards for like $200-$300. Again, that's demand. So what can we do about that? But like, let's not artificially inflate it. Like. That just it makes me sad. It honestly just makes me sad. Yeah. Like truly,
to
because there's so
point,
many people
it's
went
going to affect us. It's going to affect the players that want to play the game and or the collectors that want to collect the things for the collecting aspect of it and not necessarily to make a buck. It's gonna impact all of that.
I don't know. Okay. I'll be a little bit spicier about this one. If you're here to like really scalp this ship, DTFO. Like seriously, guys. Come on. Like
oh no. Yeah,
like,
we're gonna
profit. Okay, fine, but like, come on, really? You're gonna buy 100 Super Laser Blasts because you want to corner the market? I could be a lot more coarse here.
No, I hear you, but we're a family podcast, so we're.
That's why I abbreviated.
Anyway, again, you do you. I'm just disappointed in that. That's really what it is. But either way, let's end on a positive note. This was a very in a lot of different metrics, a very successful weekend. Was it perfect? No. There was a lot, as you guys, we talked about for the past however long, there's a lot to improve on, right? Reflecting on the success and the failures, what can we do in the future? Hopefully FFG finds some ways in order to improve, which I'm sure they will because they did do it throughout the weekend. Again, props to them for doing that. Props
to, constructive. You know, send them that, you know, give them that survey constructively.
Yeah.
Because that'll help us all in the future.
Exactly. Fill out those surveys if you can. I know I will if I get that email. So we'll end with that on a positive note. Gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this podcast on a week that you had just gotten back from your Galactic Championship. Appreciate you. And for everyone else out there, until next time, may the Force be with you.